Good morning.
Good morning.
We're glad that Mrs. Perryman is doing well. She needs her health to take care of that old man she lives with. I believe he turns 80 on what, the 12th? So, just very shortly, he'll be 80. Good thing he lives with a young woman to take care of him. So, the crowd looks a little sparse today, which is fitting for the message that I have to give to you. In fact, if it were even a little sparser, it would be more fitting. Now, I used to give my sermons off of 3x5 cards. Many of you may remember that. And this is the 3x5 card that I am using today. How old is this sermon? Well, here's a new 3x5 card. Just to give you an example. Sometimes we need to get the same message over again, like at the Feast Tabernacles, Passover, Days of Unleavened Bread. God gives us the same message. And this is a message that I've given before here in Murfreesboro. I don't know if any of you... I may have given it twice, but I don't have it written down here. I first gave this sermon... there's a reason I'm going to tell you when I first gave it. In Little Rock, Arkansas, November, and I just write on one side usually. You can see something on the back, but there's a reason for that. It's not scriptures. It's basically just scriptures. I did have 7 points, though, that I mentioned on the bottom. But I write the date on the bottom. And I kept giving it in different spaces, places, sometimes twice. And I ran out of spot to write when I had given it, so I had to get on the back. And that's what's on the back. It's just dates where I had spoken. But I first gave this in Little Rock, November the 12th. That was your birthday. 1977. So, you were just a young man at that time. 1977.
I was not in the church either.
No. So, you would have been 40 that day. But anyway, I gave this in Little Rock. And 1977, then I gave it in Russellville, Arkansas, where I had a congregation. By the way, there is no congregation in Russellville anymore. Then I gave it in Pine Bluff. Just a few months later, there's no congregation in Pine Bluff anymore. Then I gave it again in Little Rock in 1981. Why? Gave it again in Little Rock in 1986, June the 28th, and in Searcy, where there's no church anymore in Searcy. You say, why are you giving this same message over and over? I gave that just probably the last sermon I gave in Little Rock, because it was right then that I moved here. I gave it in Nashville later that year, November the 15th in 86. So it wasn't the first sermon I gave, but first few months, first year. Then I gave it in Murfreesboro the next week, November the 22nd, 1986. I'm sure some of you remember this message, right? Some of you may have heard it. Gave it in Columbia, South Carolina, Bowling Green, Nashville again in 96. Memphis in 96, Jackson, 96. Bowling Green, 2003. There's a reason I'm reading all this to you. Columbia, South Carolina again. Nigeria, 2003. Back in Little Rock for the apparently the 50th anniversary, where I gave a split sermon and gave it to them again. And they're just three little words across as a title. Church Fall Apart. That's all it says. Church Fall Apart. You know, when I gave it in Little Rock in 1977, Phil McCollum, maybe you know him, was there as a teenager. Young man. And he came up to me some years ago here and he said, "How did you know?" Because I said, "This church is going to fall apart." We had nearly 500 members. We had over 400. And now, if you put all the groups together, you wouldn't have 100. Of all the little splits that are there. So he said, "How did you know?" I said, "Phil, it was in the Bible that the church is going to fall apart." It can be very discouraging to us. You say, "What a discouraging thought. What if we look at the church?" Those of us who remember, I had, when I first came here in 1986, between, I don't know if it was the first year or the second year, between Nashville and Murfreesboro, we used to get a list of everybody and all the children as a feast printout to let them know where we were going. Basically, we were assigned a feast site, but you could transfer. I had three people short of 800 members in the two congregations put together. Almost 800, not quite. Didn't quite make 800 between the two congregations. But if you took all the people, now this included shut-ins at home and such, but everybody who was listed as a member, just shy, the two congregations together, of 800 men, women, and children. And that could be discouraging. Except that we see scriptures that God tells us that it's part of His plan. It may not be the happiest part of His plan, but isn't it nice to know that it isn't our fault necessarily? That we didn't plan it? It can be discouraging. On the other hand, it's something we all, at looking at the scriptures, should have expected. How did we know? There it is. So here are some of the scriptures. Matthew 24. How often have we read Matthew 24? We'll start in verse 9 and read down to verse 16. And I have news to give you. Bad as it has been, it's going to get worse. Because a lot of the scriptures we will read today are not for our time yet. I mean, they're not things that have already occurred. According to the scriptures, the worst is yet to come. Now, why do I say the worst? How can, if you lose over half of your members, if the majority, and we had about 150,000 members around the world and worldwide. And you'd say, well, if most of those are keeping Christmas and Easter, or many, some are atheists, how can it get worse? Well, it can get worse because when we had that falling apart, and some of you weren't part of it, you weren't with us at that time. But for those of us who went through it in 1995, it was painful. But you know, nobody killed us. Nobody hauled us out. Nobody delivered us over to the torturers or the murderers. And that will come. That's yet to come. So why do I bring up, it's not discouraging, but if they haul me out and stone me, which I have actually, I have told you, I had a dream one time where I was being martyred. Any of you remember that? None of you? I dreamed it. I dreamed that they had us, it was an intersection in a city. And there was no traffic. And they had hauled out the Christians to this intersection. There was a crowd gathered around. I don't know, it must have been about a dozen people who kept the Sabbath and the holy days, had been preaching the gospel, and they were going to kill us. And the way they were going to kill us was a nurse, female, had a hypodermic needle, and she was going to give us shots that would instantly make us drop dead. This is a dream. Not the most pleasant dream, right? I had a pleasant dream last night. Lucretia and I were at the Feast of Tabernacles. And we were, it was at a resort, never a place I've ever been. And we were going to some music because there was a casino nearby and it had music. And we were going to a show. Anyway, that was a pleasant dream. Well, here we were at this intersection in a dream years ago. And this nurse is going to give us a shot. And so some of us had to go. We were standing up there and nobody wanted to go out and get the shot. And I thought, man, what a deal. This is, what an easy way to die. You walk out and drop over. You wake up in the kingdom. I thought, man, this is not too bad. So I said, well, I'll go first. Maybe you're remembering this now. No? So I walked out, and in my dream, do you know how I am? Yes, you do. How do you know I'm being facetious? My lips are moving, right? The old. So I have to be careful. I can't say anything about attorneys, or I'm be in trouble here. So anyway, I walked out. She's going to give me the shot, and it crossed my mind to say, to look around at the crowd and say, I hope this is a clean needle. I would not want to spread disease. That actually crossed my mind. I didn't say it because it hit my mind to say, Fred, you idiot, this is your last chance to give God glory. And all you can think about is a stupid joke. So before I could give God glory, I woke up. So, but probably some of that's going to happen, not so pleasant. Matthew 24, verse 9. None of you remember me telling that? No? Pardon? You remember the
punchline?
You remember the punchline. I hope this is a clean needle. I would not want to spread disease. I mean, something like that would cross my mind. Right when before they kill me. I know you think anything that's funny crosses my mind that I will say. Oh, are you wrong? There's so much that crosses my mind that I think is funny and would be so offensive. Lady was helping Lucretia bathe. I usually bathe her in the shower. And this lady, young lady, a little heavy, and her pants were coming down. And I mean, buns were sitting up like this. And a crack. And it was just so tempting to say, Suzanne, I didn't know that you were a plumber. And I didn't say it. Aren't you amazed? Aren't you amazed? I didn't say it because I thought, poor lady, it's going to be embarrassed. Or maybe I'll get sued for, you know. So I didn't say it. Or if a lady bumps into me at the grocery store and she says, sorry, and it's tempting to say, oh, no, thank you. And Lucretia knows that I've said it to her, and I said, it isn't because I'm really thankful that she bumped in. It's just that would be funny, but I don't say it. So you'd be surprised how much crosses my mind that I don't say. There's a lot, though. You're probably, Lucretia would have said, there are still things you say that you should not say. Okay. Verse 9. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. See what I'm saying? The worst is not come. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Oh, if we think we had something bad, you know, there was one man who left worldwide, one minister, joined United, left United, started his own group, and said the tribulation's already taken place. And then put out a book, 2008, The Final Warning, where he said, this is it. It's going to happen this year. The tribulation begins this year. Now, I mean, ministered in worldwide, and then United, then left. Some of you know of whom I'm speaking? No? Wow. Got this book. 2008, Final Warning. A lot of people followed him. A lot of people left the church up in Bowling Green and went with him. Lady who used to attend in Nashville started spreading his material around. Of course, this guy ended up in prison for tax evasion. So, things are going to get worse. You will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. See, that hasn't happened yet. And then, many will be offended. Who are we talking about? Church members. Will betray one another and will hate one another. Boy, I'll tell you what. We had worldwide fall apart. Then we had, of course, there isn't a worldwide anymore. They changed the name, but no longer Church of God. But then United has had a bunch of people, had a split. First president of United took off, took a bunch of people with him. Bunch of ministers went with him. Of course, I guess most of those have left him. Took about 12 years and they figured out, you know, this was a mistake. Only one elder who left with him came back to United. You know, it takes a lot of eating crow to go back to where you were before. So a number of them went with Living. I'm glad they did. At least Living's preaching the gospel, doing a good job of it, as is United. But then we had another split takeoff. Let's see, I believe the first one was in 1998, where they left a bunch of elders and members, and then another in, you know, just 2000 and, what was it, 2000, I don't even remember, 2010, where Congress started. And say, why? Because we're changing, they're going to do over the Sabbath. Right. Hey, nobody killed any of us. Was that bad? Yeah, hurt. Mild. Like nothing. It says many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Say, well, it seems like lawlessness is already abounding, but it sounds like, to me, right here, it's going to get worse. I mean, verse 12 has already occurred, but it sounds to me like it's going to get worse. We certainly haven't had verse 10 happen, and verse 9 anyway. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. So, my last message to Little Rock was this message. And my last message before I go to New Zealand, which is Monday, is the same message. And since only one person seems to remember my punchline from when I was having my dream that this nurse was going to give me a hypodermic needle, I was going to drop over and wake up in the kingdom, which I thought, this is a good, I mean, what a wonderful way. No hauling out, no rack, no beating, no burning at the stake. Just a little shot, and you drop over, and you wake up in the kingdom. And do any of you remember me giving this sermon here? I think you. All right. Two people remember me giving this sermon. I think I may have given it here again. You remember also? You probably heard it. She's going like this. She's probably heard it 10 times. That's right. She heard it in Little Rock. She probably heard it up in Searcy. She heard it in Pine Bluff. She heard it in Russellville. She heard it in Nashville. She probably came down and heard it in Murfreesboro. That's right. And slept through it most of the time, probably. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. I really think verse 14 is going to, I mean, we've done a good job. We've even had the gospel preached into China. Herb Armstrong had the gospel preached into China. He did it by going to Radio Taiwan and getting a Mandarin Chinese speaker to translate some of his messages into Mandarin Chinese and preach it over Radio Taiwan, which was broadcast into mainland China, in their language. I don't know. I've heard there are people in China who keep the Sabbath and holy days. People we, you know, have nothing to do with us. I don't know. I pray for them. I try to pray Friday mornings for people who are keeping the Sabbath around the world, who may not even know us, but who are keeping it sincere. I ask God to bless their Sabbath. But I really think verse 14 is going to be fulfilled by the two witnesses. In verse 15, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Well, I will stop right there. I just want you to see that the prophecy is that we have not fallen apart as far as we're going to. Actually, I considered one time giving a sermon on, you know, how this woman in Revelation 12 stands upon the moon. And when Joseph had his dream, he dreamed that the sun and the moon and the stars fell down and worshipped him. And his father said to him, Jacob, said, are your mother and I and your brothers going to fall down and worship you? See, because the sun pictured the father, the moon pictured the mother who reflected the glory of the father, and ended up being the church. And then the brothers were pictured by the stars. So interestingly, the mother of us all is the church, is pictured by the moon. The woman who is pictured the church in Revelation 12 is standing on the moon. And the moon goes through phases, doesn't it? full moon, almost disappears. Full moon, almost disappears. You go through history, you look at the Church of God, big growth, thousands baptized in the book of Acts, and then tribulation goes down to almost nothing. You go through history, and they're persecuted, and you end up, you can't even find them. And then all of a sudden you come up to the little place you find people who are keeping the Sabbath and the holy days. And where do you find them? You find them in histories of heretics. Catholic Church lists, here are heretics still keeping the Jewish Sabbath and holy days. Don't believe in the Trinity. Those are heretics. Persecuted. But you find them. And they grow. And then they disappear again. And then it grows. And then it disappears. God allows it to grow. It's like He's... many are called. And then... few are chosen. He goes through calling. And then He goes through choosing. Boy, when He goes through choosing, it can get painful. Okay. I don't give that to discourage you, just to prepare us that you say, well, has God forgotten the church? Is He just letting it fall apart? Yeah, He hadn't forgotten, but He is letting it fall apart occasionally. Daniel chapter 11, verse 34 and 35. Now, this is a dual prophecy because it starts... The king of the north and the king of the south. Actually, it's chapter 10, 11, and 12 are all one prophecy. But in chapter 11, you get the rule of Persia, then you get the rule of Greece, then you get the rule of those who are left over after Alexander died, the four kings. And the king of the north, who was the king of Syria, the Seleucids, and the king of the south, who was the king of Egypt, the Ptolemies. And it sounds like it's all one king to the north and one king to the south, but actually you find this through history. It was a son of, you know, this king, and then his son, and then his son, and it goes through hundreds of years, the king of the north, king of the south. And you can find it in history books. And this is very accurate as to what happened. But then you get down to the end of chapter 11 and chapter 12, it's the time of the end. So it's skipping through time very quickly. And you get to the spot where it's the end of the Seleucid Empire. And they would have a king named Seleucus. And then you'd have his son, he'd name Antiochus. And then Antiochus would name his king Seleucus. And then that Seleucus II would name his son Antiochus II. Then you finally get down to Antiochus IV. And he is the one who is last listed. Is Antiochus IV. He's the one who conquered Jerusalem, sacrificed pigs on the altar of God at the temple. And the Maccabees fought back, conquered them, cast out all of the pagan idols that Antiochus, the Greek idols that Antiochus had. Remember, those were Greek rulers. Those were the four generals of Alexander. They were all Greek, and one of them took over Syria, and one of them took over Egypt. Cleopatra was a Greek, descended from the Ptolemies. Cleopatra is a... and there were more than one Cleopatra, but we're most familiar with the one, the last Cleopatra. Anybody know what Cleopatra means? It's Greek. Means Patra's father. Cleo is famous. So a man would name his daughter... very humble man, I'm being facetious. He'd name his daughter Famous Father. Cleopatra means famous father. So, since I'm famous, I'm going to name my daughter Famous Father, Cleopatra. They were all Greeks. So Antiochus the Fourth was the last one, and then it goes down to the end time, and you get to right at these verses, it's Antiochus and the Maccabees, and then it goes down to the end time. So the same thing, where the Maccabees had this problem, and then the church at the end time has it. Because the Maccabees were faithful. By the way, the Maccabees did something when they cleansed the temple, and it's something that is still observed to this end time. Anybody remember what it is? The Feast of Lights in December. Hanukkah. Remember, they didn't have enough clean oil that had been sanctified, but the lamps burned. Anyway, they just kept burning till they could sanctify and purify more oil with all of the correct herbs and spices that had to be in it. And so Hanukkah was not a pagan festival. It was celebrating getting rid of the pagans out of the temple. No pagan source that it had. It was getting rid of the pagans is Hanukkah. And God did use the Maccabees. Certainly did. Talking about them and us. Well, anyway, right here in verse 34. Well, verse 33. Well, verse 32. Might as well get back. This is where Antiochus was, those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. That's the Maccabees. They were priests. And those of the people who understand shall instruct many. Yet for many days they shall fall by sword and flame, by captivity and plundering. That was when Antiochus was doing all of that to the Jews. Now when they fall, they shall be aided with a little help. But many shall join with them by intrigue or slipperiness or flattery, my margin has. And some of those of understanding shall fall to refine them, purge them, and make them white. And notice this, until the time of the end. So this is not just what happened to the Maccabees, because from here on, all of this is dual. At the end time, it's going to happen again. Because didn't Jesus say, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, you see Daniel spoke of what Antiochus the Fourth did as being something that will happen at the end time. Also. And Antiochus did it, but it will happen at the end time. So that was something past, and will be. He says, "Let him who, can understand to understand it." So you and I understand it that this is dual until the time of the end, because it is still for the appointed time. Can we see? Wow, this is going to happen again. That people who do wickedly against the covenant, he'll corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. And those of the people who understand shall instruct many, yet for many days they shall fall by sword and flame, by captivity and plundering. People will join with intrigue. Many of those of understanding shall fall to refine them, purge them, and make them white until the time of the end. Doesn't that sound a whole lot worse than anything we've ever gone through? Okay. Still have some time. Paul twice mentioned that he was in danger and troubled by false brethren. Paul mentioned being troubled by false brethren. Many people that you and I have loved. I mean, when the church was told, and I go back thinking of 95, when most of my sheep just were told they could eat pork. Now, I had turned over Murfreesboro to another pastor. I was no longer pastoring Murfreesboro. Nice guy. But I was told it was during Days of Unleavened Bread that he got up and said, and some of you were probably here for that. My daughter's already nodding her head. She knows what I'm going to say, that it was Days of Unleavened Bread. And he said, so-and-so ate a sandwich with leavened bread this morning. And you know what? I wasn't there. It had ham in it. Anybody remember that? Oh, some of you do. Here, there you go. And I had said, this man's ready to pastor the church. I thought he was. It bothered me. Why are they false brethren? Why were false means they weren't brothers and sisters. So wouldn't you say that's what appeared to be their conversion was a false conversion? Actually, you kind of hoped that they were never converted, right? That's my hope. It's up to God. They seem to, I'm guessing. Now, this is my speculation that they accepted the truth of the Bible. My speculation. But they never really surrendered to God. And they were false brethren. Now, the problem is, if somebody's in that situation and they aren't yielding to God, and they're not praying, and they're not studying, and they're not keeping close to God, they're not humbling themselves, they're not repenting and seeking God's correction, that they're open prey for Satan. But the difficulty is that Satan obviously doesn't from what I have seen, I've never talked to Satan, to ask him his opinion. But from the fruits that I have seen, when somebody is not converted, he doesn't remove them right away. You know, he could go in. If you and I are not close to God, Satan could sift us instantly. Mighty archangel? Could you withstand a mighty archangel? No, I couldn't. Only if God protects us. Well, then why didn't Satan take them out immediately? Why do you, when you're playing bridge, you don't play your ace immediately? Or if you're playing a game with a wild card, why don't you throw it out immediately? See, you might want to wait. You might want to save something for a later hand, later book. So anyway, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Have they always had a screen available? So I could have used PowerPoint. I mean, are y'all know how to use this projector up there? You ever use it with PowerPoint? No?
It was just installed.
just installed. Oh, I love PowerPoint because you can cover verses so fast. Nobody has to turn. You just put it up there on the screen. You can go through it like that. See, I could have even thrown up the scriptures on false brethren that Paul mentioned. Just zip, zip, zip. Really good. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. I will not be using this for a while, but maybe when I get back. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Don't have to read anymore. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 through 16. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. We think we've seen the worst of it. We have not. Deceiving and being deceived. Can even believe it. Believe what they want to believe. When the church fell apart worldwide, and one man would come up and say, I am here to replace, God has chosen me to take Mr. Armstrong's place. And then another one. One man stood up and he constantly said, I am the only one preparing the bride. I was pastoring a little church up toward Evansville, Indiana at Henderson, Kentucky. And a number of people went with this man. So one of the nice people, one of them gave me a tape. This was some years ago, obviously, a little cassette tape of a sermon. And he said, he's the only one preparing the bride. So I thought, well, I'll listen to it. So I listened to it. And this man, who's no longer living, he was a young man, but he died young. And he said, I am the only one preparing the bride. And then a little while later he said, I'm the only one. And I thought, well, how is he preparing the bride? Is he teaching them about prayer or study or being closer to God? How do they get closer to God? He never said. He just kept saying over and over and reading scriptures, I'm the only one. And then he attacked United. And he attacked Global, which is no longer extant, but became Living eventually, sort of. But he attacked Global, so it's sometime back. He attacked them. They're not preparing the bride. I'm the only one preparing the bride. United is not preparing the bride. Global is not preparing the bride. Blah, blah, blah. I'm waiting for him to tell us how we should be prepared. And he went down and how bad we were. He went down, never said anything like that. Although later he did make a joke about something. He was a pleasant man. He joked about somebody there. And then he said, well, as my mother always told me, if you can't say something nice about somebody, don't say anything. And I thought, you need to listen to your mother. But we've had a lot of people. Well, anyway, all this kept happening. This group would start, that group would start, another group would start. And I was walking long trail, taking a walk with Lucretia when we still lived up in the Priest Lake area. We were walking along Priest Lake, and I said, you know, I'm beginning to feel inferior. After a while, I'm going to be the only elder that isn't the chosen one. Because so many were coming along who were the chosen one. That was exaggerating a little bit, which is something I am wont to do. Verse 14, but as for you, continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, there's the key, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And then we say that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. But that applies to all of us. That applies to all of us. Chapter 4, verses 1, continuing on in chapter 4. Verse 1 through 5, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. You know, about the time somebody comes along, brethren, and says, I'm the one, you got to really be careful. See? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. Oh, has that happened already and will get worse? I mean, we've already seen that. People want to hear something new. On the internet for something new. Oh, I don't want to hear the same old thing. I want to hear some new thing. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Of course, nobody thinks that has happened to them. Nobody thinks that has occurred to them. Now, well, that's not a fable. But you be watchful. Well, I don't know. This man who ended up in prison and who said, if the tribulation doesn't start in 2008, I'm a false prophet. And people still following him. I mean, I believe he said, well, God's extended it for one more year. And that fell apart too. And I got his book. He was giving away for free. Big, thick book. 2008, The Final Warning. None of you got that? Oh, good for you. I'm the only heretic in here. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. I want to, there are a lot of other verses, but I want to read something here. A lot of other scriptures warning this same thing. So, we don't have time for it, and I don't want to take time for it. But I wrote down 7 points, which still I think are valid. Number one, I wrote down, stick with God. What I meant is, be close to God with prayer and study and humility. Not praying and studying out of vanity, but praying and studying. When I read the Bible, I will often pray before I read it. And I will say, God, teach me what I need to know, how I need to change. It seems like some people study the Bible to find some new doctrine. And that's good to know the truth. I want God to teach us the truth and continue to grow in truth and knowledge, grace and knowledge. But, you know, the main Bible study we all need is for God to hold it up as a mirror to see where we need to change. I think some people study to see where the church needs to change. Okay, church can change. We always need to grow. But, you know, the person that really needs to grow is in your mirror. It's in my mirror. Stick with God. That's prayer and study. Second, I put down, years ago, stick with the work. By that I mean preaching the gospel. There have been people who have gone out and said, we're in the Laodicean era, we don't have to preach the gospel anymore. We just have to send in your tithes to me. Well, he didn't say that, but that's sin. I hate to think it, but when I hear people, and some of them who said we don't need to preach the gospel because it's the end time, and then the end time didn't happen, the end time didn't happen, the end time didn't happen. So they said, well, we do need to preach the gospel, and they began preaching the gospel a little bit. But stick with preaching the gospel. Stick with the work. That's what I meant. Do God's work. Number three, don't think you have a special in with God. Now, I say that because every now and then somebody comes along and they have some new truth themselves. I know that Dr. Meredith used to refer to that as they had their baby. And every mother loves her baby. That's the most wonderful, and that's the way it should be. I think every young mother who has a baby, that should be the most wonderful baby that's ever existed. And I've asked young mothers, is this the most wonderful baby that's ever existed? And I've had them say, oh, yes. And that's what I want them to say. I mean, she's being a little facetious, of course, but I think every young mother and having a baby, that baby should be the special. Really special. And of course, then the second one is, I've known young mothers who didn't want to have a second baby because they think, I'll never be able to love another baby as much as I love whoever it is. And of course, she's totally wrong. That new baby comes. So, I was telling a young lady who's sitting back here that her mother was pregnant and didn't want to be pregnant. And she's sitting back here. And she was playing the piano and she was upset that she was pregnant. And I said, I'll take your baby. I want your baby. We'll take your baby. And then she had her baby and she didn't want to give her up. She didn't even, as was brought out, somebody said, she didn't even want anybody else to hold her. That baby was so special. So, yes, and mother's patting that special baby. Now, that special baby understands because she's had her special babies. Don't think you have a special in with God. Don't think we are all special, but I'm not more special than you. God loves me more than I love my children or grandchildren, and that's a lot. Four, don't fully trust any human. Lucretia and I both agreed before we got married that God would be first. And that she had to put God far ahead of me, and I had to put God far ahead of her. So, Lucretia had faults, made mistakes. I do. I have. I will. I like where, and that applies to ministers and Gary Petty. He'd agree with that. And if you don't think that if you think he can be fully trusted, and you can just believe everything he says, you need to talk to Kim. And she'll straighten you out. Dr. Hay put it nicely at a feast one time. He says, if you believe everything you hear from this podium, you have quit thinking. Now that's true. Because I've said some things I've later gone back and said, oh, that certainly was wrong. Five goes along with that one. Don't believe what you're told by men. You know, today I'd say don't believe what you read on the internet. Sometimes we believe what we want to believe. I remember years ago, I'm talking about back in the, let's see, this would have been the 60s. And it came out, and I was handed this thing that in Brussels, Belgium, which was where it, back then it was the common market. It's become, you know, European Union, but it's back then it was the common market. That on the third floor of the common market building, this was a paper that went out, and a lot of members, boy, were they thrilled when they saw this. Oh, look at this, look at this. That on the third floor of the common market building in Brussels, Belgium, that there was the whole floor was filled with a computer, which the workers there had nicknamed the Beast, and it was on it, number 666, right on that computer. And when I read that, I burst into laughter. I thought, that is really funny, ha ha ha. And then I found out a lot of members believed it. And I thought, this is somebody's humor. Can't you see it? This is somebody's humor. That would have been on TV. Everybody, oh, I believe that's true. Sorry. Don't believe what you're told by men. Doesn't matter who it is. It's like all this, now they're finding all these phony stories the Russians have put out. And a lot of TV columnists believed those things and repeated them. And they were just things that Hillary had done this and Hillary had done that. Well, Hillary's done a few things, I agree. And all politicians, basically. Yeah. But there were people believe what they want to believe. They were hoping. Don't believe what you're told by men. I mean, seek some proof. Say, well, you know, I know you to be someone trustworthy, but I want to see, you know, some backup on that. Six. Don't seek special attention. Some people are needy. They just need attention. And seven, don't be offended. Some people get offended. I want to turn 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 1 through 3. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, I'm reading 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. And our gathering together to Him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us. Even if you get a letter from me, maybe it isn't from me. You get a letter from Mr. Petty, get a letter from the home office, maybe it isn't from them. As though the day of Christ had come, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. You know, it sounds like that's yet in the future. I thought we had a falling away. We did. Maybe there's a bigger one, worse. And the man of sin is revealed. See, that hasn't happened yet. The son of perdition. And then dropping down to verse 12 and 13, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and in the truth. And then verse 15 through 17. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Sure, I got it here. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, and here's a promise, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. 20 seconds overtime. So now you've heard it again. Some of you have heard it again.